It's time for What's Cooking on 95BFM.
It sure is. Kia ora, Hannah, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks, kia ora. Thanks for having me.
No, we're so happy to have you here on What's Cooking, coming in from NAM. How's your day been? What have you been up to?
I just went to stupid work.
Oh, but honestly, now...
stupid work.
But now I'm sitting in the beautiful NAM winter sun at the park, and I'm so delighted to be on your sweet show.
Oh, nice. Yeah, no, gorgeous. I've been loving cold sun. It's part of my favorite weather, although I'm freezing, so maybe less so. Anyway, we are here to talk about your latest single, Crowd Scene, which released not too long ago. It's so gorgeous. But before we talk about that, did you just want to tell us a little bit about your work and like how you got into music in the first place?
Yeah, sure. Well, I write kind of, I call them clear-eyed anthems in my official documents. But I just want to make things that feel loving and can facilitate people, like, oh my god, it's so hard, isn't it? I just like to I like to make music that feels like supportive to listen to, and I'm always just trying to offer like a transformative experience, whether or not I ever achieve that, but that is my goal. And I just love people, and I love the look of people in a crowd when I'm playing my songs at gigs. And I just I think music has great transportive powers, obviously, so I just hope I can do that one day.
That's such a beautiful sentiment, and you totally do. I feel like, especially, you know, we haven't even heard it live, but just being, you know, headphones on, listening to your music, it definitely sparks that feeling. And before we talk about your single, your last album, The Day Again Has Bruised Me, that was released 2 to 3 years ago in 2022, and you've released a couple of singles since then, but how have you been spending your time, kind of, and I guess more of a break from releasing music?
Yeah, I think I've just been, I think there's a good, like, Bjork quote. Oh my god, sorry, there's a train going past, I hope you can't hear that. That's... Oh, it's so squeaky.
Oh, no, that's okay. Let me know. It's not squeaky. Sorry. Here.
Okay, great. there's a really good Bjork quote that I think got published on that Creative Independent Instagram page, if you know it, where they interview artists, and she talks about it being the responsibility of an artist to breathe in and breathe out and not leave too much time between, not hold their capacity at the top of their lungs, like to keep things flowing in terms of writing and releasing. So I think I've been in the inhale phase of that for the last few years, and it's felt nice to hold it there, because I think my tastes have been changing a little bit and my process is changing a little bit. But with these new singles coming out, I was quite scared to do it because it's been a while, but it definitely feels nice to like let it go and not control it so much anymore, and just, you know, let it travel to New Zealand after all. That's crazy that I get to be on your radio. So I think I've just been chilling. I also I wrote this one in a really funny solo month where my house was empty for the summer and I was the only one there, and I just decided to be a bit of like a nun in my house, and I didn't see anyone for a month, and I wrote this whole album. I didn't think I would be that productive, but I think just like the container of the month felt really appealing, and this song Crowd Scene that just came out, I wrote during that period. So like, I guess if I'm never like consistent, but I have like intense periods of lots and then nothing.
No, I think it's a good way to work, I feel.
It's like seasonal. It's very like,
we love having none months. And also, yeah, that Bjork quote is so great. I've never thought about it that way, and that's why I'm Elle and they're Bjork. And so your music also focuses not just this last track, but is like a lot, it's very observational in the world around you, as you've said, and just kind of sitting in it and being super present. Why do you think the world inspires you so deeply? Because I don't think it's that, like, I don't know if this is wrong, but I feel like the world is not often inspirational. I don't know. It's just like it is kind of a niche inspiration for music as a whole.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I think it's probably just in my best interest to be interested in the world, because I think I really enjoy songs that are about like one person's perspective and about like a, like I love the intimacy of that, but something about the way I write, I don't know. I didn't really make the choice, but it feels, well, I guess I could put it like this, like I feel more open-hearted if I'm noticing things in the world, which is why I love living in a city like Melbourne, or I love like being out, because I also like, I'm so neurotic and get trapped in my mind, and if I can find like, I don't know, something cute to give attention to, that like just helps me. So I think I enjoy that in like probably more like the writers, like authors that I love, like Maggie Nelson or like Miranda July. They're so skilled at drawing your attention to something tiny that makes you feel like the entire world's in that. Do you know that? I don't know if I'm describing it right, but totally. Do you know that feeling?
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, you could just study, like, I'm trying to think of an example, like.
No, I totally get like a writer's ability to just articulate the world in a way. And I feel like it brings you into that very subjective sense, which is nice to live in someone else's head for once.
I think so. Yeah. I think we all need to do that and like to understand like how vastly different everyone is, but also how like similar we are. Like that duality is kind of interesting to me.
Yeah.
And I think there's something about like the perspective of like zooming in so far that then you zoom out. Like there's something trippy about that I'm still figuring out. But like I have a friend, my friend Liv Satchel, who is a playwright here in Melbourne. She has this great thing she works with that like she just talks about hyper-specificity in her writing and often gives like obscure examples from her childhood or things that really only apply to her like on paper. But then, you know, her work is like so resonant and people are crying in the aisles and clutching their friends at all her plays because they had the exact same experience with like a 90s lolly that she's referencing, but because they also have a version of that. And yeah. I think there's something about like, articulating something so specific.
Yeah, no, totally. You've picked us some songs as well. And we've requested local music. So the first one you've picked for us is City Boy by Will Edgar. Let's have a listen to it and then we'll check back in a minute.
Amazing. Enjoy this song.
We were so high in the backseat car, eyes shaken and diluted, couldn't drive very far. Pull the clutch, pull the blinds, pull you into my arms. It was pretty dark, but I could see the stars when you turned out the light. And in the morning you asked me if I could be quiet. It's a small town, people talk. You were frightened. Just a coastal kid with a coastal mind.
It feels so criminal to cut the song off. It's so gorgeous. Tell us a little bit about the song.
This is City Boy by Will Edgar, who lives here in Nam as well. And it's this incredible... I would say it's anthemic and also incredibly intimate. And he's talking about a romantic experience in like a small surf town with a guy who wasn't ready to be publicly dating him, I suppose.
Right.
And there's this, the chorus, Will goes, I'm not being precious about it. I'll find myself a city boy. And I just love that it's so hopeful, and Will is such an angel and just a posy cutie. And I feel so empowered when stories of heartbreak are told in this way of like, that's what happens, and I'm still beautiful and I'm still strong. I just think it's such a healing song. I think everyone needs to hear it.
Oh, that's so gorgeous. It's so nice to hear that, like, over in Melbourne you've got a similar kind of style, like, music community that's super interconnected, and you're, like, supporting each other, which is so gorgeous.
Yes. So yeah, it's lovely. Beautiful to have that. I'm sure it's in Auckland as well.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And this... Oh, I don't want to drag it down, but that was City Boy by Will Edgar. This is What's Cooking, and we're talking to Hannah McKittrick, who's picked some tunes for us today. And the next one you've picked for us, also another gorgeous track, is Returning by Juice Webster. Tell us a little bit about why you picked this one.
Well, Juice is an artist who... she's like, her vision is crystal clear, and I think the way she expresses herself is just, you can feel that it's full of truth. And also, you know, she's a Virgo, she's one of my dearest friends, and she's this like badass Virgo, and she can just say things so cleanly and straightly, and that's totally in her music as well. It's like, you know, it's so beautiful when you can feel like the character that you love in your friend in their music as well.
That's so
and this song is just like incredible. Yeah. It's so good.
I think like also following on from that theme of like finding writers with super who are able to articulate their view of the world very succinctly and specifically.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, totally.
And just like in one sentence you get, it's like a portal into a whole world if it's done well, like the way that Juice does.
Oh, completely. So this is Returning by Juice Webster. Let's have a listen. It's such a beautiful song.
Right?
Yeah, totally. And it's very soft, and I don't know, I just think it lets the lyrics kind of sit on top in a really lovely way, which in a way reminds me of your music.
Oh, thanks.
And what do you think? I think maybe just talking about the single, it sits on this beautiful, like, ambient texture. Can you tell us a little bit about like how you went about building that? Because I feel like the sentiment of the song is super important, but it sits over this really luscious, just like ambience instrumental. So how'd you go about that?
Thanks for saying that. Well, I think I just wrote the song, I actually wrote it lying down playing guitar in the summer because I was so hot. And
honestly,
and I was just lying on my back playing guitar, which I think now I'll have to do that again because it did work that time. But it was just like that the main just like part with the singing. But then when I got to bring it to my band, Ollie and Theo, who are such beautiful musicians, this like long extended outro just came out, and I kind of realized that it would be beautiful to better song, like, lyrically, to be talking about the crowd and the sentiment of belonging to strangers, and then to, like, give an to give a more zoomed out instrumental section that, when we play it live, like, it's one of the more, like, rocky moments in the set, but then, like, allows people to, like, enjoy being in a crowd and, like, moving together.
Oh, totally, yeah.
That's my hope for it anyway. But, yeah, I think I like having that dynamic growth to it, and that it's not just, like, a soft moment. It's, like, got all this stuff in it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the running time of the track kind of gives you, like, movement to be able to play with it, just because it's so... It's quite a long song.
A very long song.
And this last...
Thanks for playing it on the radio, lol. It's not very radio friendly.
Hey, there is a track that I like, and it's 12 minutes long. And when I had my 5 to 7 slot, I did, in fact, play it for all of the, mainly truck drivers that were texting me and saying this was great.
That.
So, yeah. But
was that
hey,
late at night?
No, in the morning, 5 to 7 in the morning. Yup, graveyard.
Right. That's iconic. That's hot. That's a hot slot.
Honestly, and I did it for so long and got very cranky, so full no. Anyway, this last track, you're actually also in this band, Quality Used Cars.
Yes, yeah. This is my friend's band, so I didn't write this song, but yeah, I have the luck to play piano in this band.
Gorgeous.
It's my friend Francis Tate's band, Quality Used Cars. Yeah.
Yeah. And this song, Tulla Marina, is a song about the impact of colonization in Australia. Do you want to speak a little bit? I mean, I know you didn't write this song, but how the song came to be?
Yeah, no, I know the story.
It's super powerful.
Yeah. So Franny, the songwriter, he grew up in Airport West in Melbourne, which is a suburb near the airport, near Tulla Marine. And he said that, yeah, like in his sort of early 20s, you know, because here in Australia, our education around First Nations history is like so lax. And so it's barely mentioned especially in like primary school. And so, yeah, Franny just sort of educated himself about the history of the town that he grew up in and what that land, Wurundjeri country, the custodians of it and what happened on it sort of, and what is still happening with the ongoing genocide here. But he wrote this song in consultation with Uncle Bill, who's an elder of the Wurundjeri council, and was given permission to share this story. You know, he's a white man, and he went about it in a really official way, and, you know, was ready to be told this isn't yours to tell. But, yeah, Uncle Bill helped him shape it, and yeah, now it's this story of Tulla Marina, who was a Wurundjeri man with a beautiful, strong spirit. The song kind of goes into it, and he was imprisoned in the Melbourne jail and he burnt it down, and it's just a great story of resistance and Indigenous power that especially all us white fellas here in Australia can learn a lot from.
Yeah, it's so, I'm the only word I can come up with is powerful, just being able to, I think music is a tool of education and like just a way of like, telling the history of a land that is probably, is not told. Super powerful. I wish everyone should go home and like have a listen to the lyrics.
It's a great story. Yeah, Tulla Marina was an amazing man.
Yeah. The last track we're going to play, because we are so running out of time, is your track.
I'm such a yappy Gemini.
No, that's okay. Crowd Scene, it's so gorgeous. Let's have a listen.
Thank you.
We're ending the segment on two songs with extremely powerful sentiments. God, I need a new word. But yeah, from what I read, you've written the song almost as like a call to action of, you know, using crowds as a source of protest and asking people to use their power and numbers to protest for Palestine. Tell us a little bit about, I mean, I guess it kind of speaks for itself, but tell us how you came to write this song.
Yeah, I think, well, a couple of things towards the end of that, I think it was 2 years ago, I just had a couple of experiences in crowds that felt really bolstering for my sense of self and sense of place. I went to I went to a really great festival at Meredith where I just felt so like happy to be one of many people like dancing. And then of course, yeah, we have I'm not sure if you do in Auckland, but we have for a couple of years now had free Palestine rallies on a Sunday. And it's not every week now, but it's for like maybe 2 years it was every Sunday. And that always felt like such an antidote to the despair that it feels like to watch a genocide unfolding on our phones. And I always felt so so much stronger when I could stand with other people who are upset about the same thing. And I just wanted to write something that, yeah, could remind us, or could try to remind us of, as you said, yeah, that our power when we're together. And I believe like we all belong to each other. And I love the cry that gets chanted at the rally, which is, in our hundreds and our millions, we're all Palestinians. Like, that could be applied to everything. We're not free till we're all free. Like, all those motives are so beautiful. And I hope that we can continue to bring them closer and live them in like authentic and loving ways.
Yeah, totally. I feel like it's so... Yeah, just the ability to kind of, again, use another medium to amplify that voice or that image is super important.
I think there's a responsibility of artists to do that. I 100%. Really think like, we're well placed to be like bringing attention to things. And yeah, it feels like a good way to use that.
Yeah, I like music has never been without politics, and people who think that politics has no place in music has never listened to any music before, I think.
Totally.
There's such a history of it, and it's so important that musicians now are still carrying on that tradition. And it's, yeah, and especially when it comes to, when it comes to actually writing music about topics that matter and that count, it's not just about like someone saying something on social media, it's about embedding that within the artist's story. Because you know, we're not separate from the world at all.
No, and like all the kneecap stuff as well, like it's so powerful to bring protest into gigs where they can't, like, you know, the government isn't able to control a gig as much as they like they can outlaw protesting or something, but like they can't stop you from writing stuff on billboards in behind you as a backdrop. And I'm very inspired by that too.
I know, and it's all, to me it's disgusting how much it's been, people have been trying to shut them down. It's just like, we have the right to protest, so
totally. And that's why they're scared of kneecap, because kneecap are like mobilizing everyone.
I know, exactly,
like helping everyone connect to bigger things.
And you know what, they should be scared. That's a good thing. Hey, I think we should listen to the very end of this track, but thank you so much for chatting with us today. It's been lovely.
Thank you so much for having me. I've had a really nice time talking to you.
Have fun on your own radio show.
Thanks, baby. Enjoy the rest of yours.
Thank you. Have a lovely rest of your day.
Bye.
was What's Cooking on 95 BFM.